Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. He's speaking to us from Florida. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
The Fed hikes its rate 0.25%. Are they going to be hiking further, or are they going to more or less put the brakes on maybe one more hike?
No one really knows, and we know this because the Fed has been making noises that it's going to maybe hike at least one, maybe two more times, and then keep rates high as it waits for inflation to come down. Remember, the Fed has a 2% inflation target. We're nowhere near that right now. The real confusion on Wednesday, when we saw the Fed rate hike, was that Fed Chair Powell came out and said, you know, people who have deposits at banks don't have to worry. That was what he said. And yet across town at the same time, Treasury Secretary Yellen, who used to be the Fed chair herself a while back, said, well, we aren't going to back deposits over $250,000. That's what caused the Dow to turn from a triple-digit up day to being down more than 500 points. And you can see why the market got scared. Now, the reason Yellen said that is because they can't insure all the deposits across the country, no matter what their size, without an act of Congress. You need Congress to come in and say, well, you know, all right, you can insure more than $250,000, which is the current limit. And so she is correct to say that, especially with a divided Congress like we have. I think she makes a good point. However, it did undercut Powell, who is trying to reassure the market. Now let's talk about the future. What is everyone expecting? As I said, the Fed has said in words that it may continue to hike. It's leaving that on the table. It's probably going to hike to a lower target, but it's going to leave rates higher for longer because it wants to get inflation under control. But now look at what the bond traders are betting. What the bond traders are betting is that we have about even odds for another hike in May. They don't expect anything in June. And then they expect a series of five cuts, not hikes, cuts into the end of the year. So we have the Fed saying one thing. We have the market believing another thing. If these market gyrations are what you like, that's what you need, is complete disagreement between the Fed and the market. We used to have a saying, I'm old enough that I remember this, that the Fed doesn't like to surprise the market. Well, right now, you know, the Fed and the market aren't on the same playing field. Somebody's going to get surprised. We'll just have to see how that works out. But I would point out the thing that's been doing well recently is gold. And it's not just because of the bank failures. It's partly because of the bank failures, and the bank failures may or may not be over. I can think of at least two banks that may be on the block because of Yellen's words. But another thing is that since the market is anticipating we'll have an end to the rate hike cycle anyway, even if we don't have rate cuts, they're anticipating we're going to have an end to the Fed's rate hike cycle. That lifts a weight off of gold because those rate hikes were what was propping up the U.S. dollar. And as I showed in my presentation for the Money Show just a little while back, gold is often spoken of as a hedge against inflation, but what it really is a hedge against the U.S. dollar. And so if you think the U.S. dollar is going lower, or the value of the U.S. dollar is going lower, which can happen in inflationary times, then you want to bet on gold. Gold, I think, looks good here. I've been adding some new positions in this chaos. They're doing okay. We'll have to see how they do going forward. But that's kind of how I'm looking at things. That's not the only place where I'm putting new money, by the way. I think that whether this is a relief rally or a real bottom, I don't know. But I know there are things that are going higher anyway. And so I want my subscribers in those.
And what would those be?
We're having great success with select semiconductor chips, those that are used in artificial intelligence, EVs, and cars. And those are doing well. I'm also making bets in artificial intelligence software, robotic software, robotic manufacturers, and also cybersecurity. 2022 was a banner year for hacking attacks. It's probably only going to get worse because more and more of our information is migrating to the cloud. So cybersecurity is an easy bet here. And again, that's a large field. Some stocks are truly terrible. You have to do your own research. But there are some good bets in that area as well.
So many people now are being urged by the computer makers, oh, just put it up on the cloud. It's perfectly safe. Is that a lie? Could they be sued for
that?
Well,
I'm not a cybersecurity expert. I wear many hats. That is not one of mine. But I know that, you know, there's no way to avoid having things on the cloud. The people who say, oh, you know, you have to live invisibly and stuff like that, they aren't living the kind of life that I want to live. I love a life of ease and comfort, you know? I am somewhat assured by the fact if, say, someone hacks my trading account, I know that Fidelity will actually guarantee my money in there even if someone steals it. So there is that, you know. And so what it really comes down to is, do you believe the banks will be around to make good on those guarantees if you get hacked? That seems to be part of what we're having in these last couple of weeks, is people are really unsure of the banks. What other kind of bad bets did they make? Silicon Valley Bank made an obvious bad bet in retrospect, but, I mean, I can see why they did it. They bought U.S. Treasuries thinking that the Fed was already at a pivot because they looked at how the Fed had acted previously. They said, okay, these kinds of things happen. That's when the Fed pivoted last time. So we're at a point where we think the Fed will pivot, and we'll just get these. Now, if I was running a bank, I wouldn't make any kind of bet like that. I just would have had it in very short-term debt and just keep rolling it over and like stuff like that. You don't make any money, but at least you can access it if you have trouble. Well, they locked things up for a while. And so then when they had to run on the bank, they had to sell things at a steep discount, and things got worse and worse and worse. So that was a poorly managed bank, but I know investors are thinking out there, well, what other big banks have made bad bets? Now, there is a difference between this, well, there's a couple differences between this crisis we're having in banks right now and the great financial crisis of 2008. One is that scale, you know, these are smaller banks, and so far the fallout has been kind of limited. So that's good. The other is that the White House and the Fed and the FDIC are not making bank shareholders whole. Those guys are left holding the bag. Who they're making whole are the depositors, which is what should have happened last time. So they learned their lesson from last time, so good on them. That's good to see. So, and also that limits the liability for the U.S. government, because if we suddenly had to start like guaranteeing all the shareholders of, say, like Bank of America, that would really suck. So, there are banks that the federal government will not allow to fail. That's for sure. But the ones that are failing now, while they may be systemically important to certain industries, they aren't that important. And that's why they're allowed to fail. And then they're taking all sorts of extraordinary actions to make sure that the failures don't spread. They have some new programs in place, including a new program that allows banks to take all kinds of U.S. debt, even stuff they shouldn't be able to sell now, and use that as a guarantee against new loans, short-term loans, just in case they need it. That would have prevented what happened to SVB. So I'm actually somewhat pleased with the government response to this. It's never perfect, and it's never going to make it completely happy, but they aren't making some of the mistakes they made last time. So at least there's that.
We'll have more with Sean Broderick right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sean Broderick. Sean, anything going on with lithium?
Well, the price of lithium keeps going lower. The stocks seem to be finding a bottom, which might be that we're going to see the end sooner than later. Now, hang on a second. So here's the thing, is that we've seen the price of lithium go down, 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 and it hasn't found a bottom yet. Lithium stocks have. What's been driving the price of lithium down? Well, China cut all the subsidies, or not all the subsidies, let's say 90% of the subsidies, that it had for electric vehicles. And so that really scared the market. People thought that, oh my God, you know, maybe people won't be buying all these EVs. At the same time, new supply is coming online. Now, we have seen recent sales numbers on EVs out of China that aren't bad, actually. So they're actually pretty good. So maybe that's why the lithium stocks are starting to pick up again, because even though they see prices for the lithium metal itself haven't recovered yet, they're anticipating that because China's starting to get into a new gear of EV sales. That's good. So we'll have to see how that goes. I am bullish on select lithium stocks, both in the intermediate term and the longer term. And I do believe people who have been talking about a surplus of lithium haven't really been involved in mining that long, because things always go wrong. I can tell you that about mining. So many projects that I've seen where, you know, it's not like they were lying. It's not like they were dumb. Just things went wrong and delayed the project. And I'm sure dollars will get you donuts. No, donuts will get you dollars. I'm not sure how I'm saying that. In any case, you can win on a bet that some big major lithium project will be delayed simply because that's the way things go in mining, you know? And so I am not buying the lithium miners now, but I'm very interested. And especially at these prices, especially the way they have corrected, we already own some, you know, so it's no big rush. What I have been buying is like gold miners simply because I didn't own enough. We sold a whole bunch of those before, you know, because we could see things were peaking, and now things seem to be turning higher. One thing I am looking at now is oil stocks, not gas stocks, even though if I was a braver man, I probably would look at natural gas stocks. But oil stocks, simply because the sell-off that we've seen in that industry seems undeserved at this point. Now, I'm only buying oil stocks to pay nice dividends. That's my bottom line, because, you know, this pullback in oil stocks could continue for a while, and if that happens, then I want to be paid to wait. The nice thing about good oil stocks is they pay you nice dividends. So that's what I'm doing. So, I mean, and I'm also buying things like copper. Copper looks good, and copper's been recovering. It's about to test the recent downtrend. If it breaks through that, copper will be off to the races. And that brings us back to China. I mean, we saw copper prices and the prices of many industrial metals Boom when China immediately, boom when China came out of its three-year COVID lockdown, and they boomed rather quickly. Then they pulled back because everyone said, oh, you know, China still has problems and it won't come back so fast. But now we're starting to see some of the demand data come out of China, and it's pretty good because the Chinese were locked up in their homes for 3 years. They have a lot of money saved up, and they're buying things hand over fist. So, you know, I mean, I expect we'll see a strong year from China's economy. I know they don't have a forecast for strong growth this year. I think that'll surprise to the upside. And so that makes me bullish on commodities overall.
Sean, anything else we should be keeping a real close eye on right now?
No, like the, I have to say, the Fed seems to be sucking up all the oxygen in the room right now. And I will be interested to see what happens when we come to the May meeting, or I should say the month before the May meeting, because everyone loses their crap for that month leading into it, don't they? So it'll be interesting to see what happens then. Right now, the market seems caught betwixt and between. It doesn't know who to believe. That's an uncomfortable place for a trader. It's very, very frustrating. On the other hand, there are bargains out there, not only in stocks that pay dividends, though I do favor those, but also in stocks that are that have good exposure to some nice big trends all over the place. So I'm okay with this market right now, and I think people should hold their noses and just pick things up. I don't think there's a huge crash coming. Watch that, jinx it, right? But okay. And I'm not saying we're having a soft landing either, but if we do have a pullback, it's probably going to be shorter than longer. We are close to the point where we normally see bear markets bottom. I was speaking about a price-to-earnings thing. You know, we've seen enough of a discount in stocks, so that wouldn't surprise me. So overall, I'm actually pretty optimistic about this year. Everyone should do what works for them the best, of course. And good luck to everyone out there.
Sean, thank you so much for chatting with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
My guest has been Sean Broderick, Senior Editor at WeissRatings.com. If you have any questions for Sean or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.